Do you feel like there's something happening in your home or business? Something you can't explain? Do you think that whatever is happening seems to be paranormal? Do they exist? Florida Ghost Hunters at FloridaGhostHunters.com are looking for haunted locations throughout Central Florida. Let the team at Florida Ghost Hunters investigate your paranormal experience. Their mission is to disprove a haunting with science, to find a reasonable explanation to a problem, and whatever is left becomes evidence. FloridaGhostHunters.com. If you've experienced paranormal activity in your home or business, you are urged to visit FloridaGhostHunters.com and click Need Help. FloridaGhostHunters.com.
What are we made of? Why do I get sick? How can I live a more balanced whole life? These are just a few of the questions explored each week by naturopath, medical intuitive, and clairvoyant Dr. Rita Louise on Just Energy Radio. Explore your possibilities every Friday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. Join us at JustEnergyRadio.com.
We'll be right back. say, Sean B., I've been thinking about all the things necessary to produce a proper paranormal broadcast.
Do tell, Nathan S., what are these vital qualities?
Empathy, commitment, quiet dignity, and self-respect.
Indeed. What a shame we don't have any of those traits.
Oh, yeah, the Ghost Planet Demon Hunter show is rocking its way on the supernatural scene.
It's drive-time paranormal broadcasting without the driving or the timing. Just go to www.ghostanddemon.com.
Think you know what goes bump in the night? You ain't heard nothing yet.
Each week, we'll be bringing you the best and the worst kept secrets in the paranormal community.
Yeah, us, the Ghost Planet Demon Hunter, Sunday from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
www.ghostanddemon.com. The Ghost Planet Demon Hunter show is beyond the normal broadcast.
This is Ghostly Talk.
Everybody got their composure now?
Nope.
Not yet.
I'm so glad
probably
you said
not
that
till next
before
show.
I got a drink of water, and not after.
I refreshed my tea on break. Don't forget ConsciousApe.com, John King, that's who we talked to. Really
yes.
Cool, really cool conversation.
Check that website out.
Mind-numbing stuff. Speaking of mind-numbing, Robbie Thomas is with us right now. Robbie, you there?
I'm here.
I didn't mean it like that. God, take it easy. Jeez. Whoa.
Way to bring a repeat guest on.
Robbie, was that bad? Robbie, you there?
He probably couldn't take it.
No. We got echo.
Oh, you got echo? Are you getting an echo? Seriously, Robbie?
I'm getting like two laps at a time and two.
Robbie, hang on. That's okay. Let me drop you, and I'll bring you back.
No,
in,
no,
okay?
No, no. He's okay. Talking about us laughing hysterically, I think.
Oh, okay. All right. You can hear everything okay, though, Robbie? Seriously?
Oh, I got you guys talking. No, I got more.
He's got problems. Sorry. Yeah, you got.
Yeah, you better drop him. And...
No, hang on. How about now? Does that sound better now? Is that better, Robbie? Oh, we're losing him.
Yeah.
Robbie.
Yeah,
drop me.
We're gonna call you back. All right.
Okay, call me back.
All right, hang tight. Yeah, something went wet.
The system couldn't take our insane laughter.
You guys overdrove the sound card and said, I'm done.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what it was. Speaking of mind-numbing.
No, I didn't mean it like a bad way.
I know, but...
Well, no, because we're going to be talking about some pretty wild stuff here. It's mind-numbing.
Okay.
Jesus Christ. Robbie, you there? Can you hear us okay?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Are you guys there?
Yeah, we're here. Can you hear us okay? Are we going real time here or? Yeah, something's not right here. I don't know what's going on. Robbie, how about we go to the telephone? Because something's going wacky with Skype, I think. I don't know.
Ever. It's like Scott's talking five times.
Oh, that's not good.
No, not at all. I don't even like to hear you once.
Let's call you on the phone. Is that okay, Robbie?
Oh, that's good, yes.
All right, cool. Jesus Christ. This is sucking.
Never a dull moment around here.
Let's try. That's why we have backups.
Exactly.
That's nothing like live radio.
Piece of crap.
Hello?
How about this? Is this better?
Oh, Scott, you sound so gorgeous.
Oh, well, thank you.
Wow. I have never thought that about you, I have to say.
Well, that's certainly... Sorry about that. I don't know what happened. Something went wacky on the Skype line there. Doug is still here, right? Doug,
yes.
You're still with
yes,
us?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, cool. All right, well, that didn't go quite how I planned it to go.
I, however, have left.
You're gone?
Yes.
Bonnie's gone. All right, no problem. Robbie, how are you doing tonight? It's good to have you back on the
show.
Oh,
better now. I thought I was having an acid flashback from the 70s.
Yeah.
That was bad.
We didn't know what happened. We thought we lost you there for a minute. First, I guess we got a lot of stuff to talk about here tonight. But the first thing you sent me out a copy of the Sally House, that I actually have. I'm holding it right now as I speak, so thank you for that. I got to check it out this weekend and give it a good watch. And, you know, it brought back a lot of memories, I have to say. You know, we've talked about the Sally House before here on the show, and, you know, we've been there before. We were there back in 2005, and it brought back a lot of memories. And it's like an hour-long DVD. It's really cool, and it features you and Michael Esposito, who are doing the work throughout this thing. And there's a lot of witnesses also. You guys actually went out and talked to a lot of people in the Atchison, Kansas area. You talked to as far even the neighbor who lives there. Is that lady still living there, if I may ask?
Yeah, she is. Actually, she is living there still.
I don't know how long she's been living there. We never really met the neighbors when we were out there, but it was interesting to talk to her. One of the things I wanted to point out, actually, and this is because, I mean, like I said, I just got this a couple days ago, so Bonnie, you're giving me the dirty look here. But,
no, I'm
well,
taking
here,
it home.
Take
tonight.
It with you. That's fine. One of the things she pointed out, Robbie, was, and I found this really interesting, and Doug, this is going to make you interested in this, too. The neighbor, they were interviewing her, and she said, I had some relatives in from out of town. We were barbecuing in the backyard, and the relatives knew that the house next door was haunted, like really haunted. So they wanted to check it out. She said, well, you can't go in the place unless, you know, you're going to let people walk in through there, but you can go look in the windows and stuff if you want, no problem. And one of the things she pointed out, I think you might have heard us mention this before, Robbie, was that there's a radio there. There's a radio there. Now, I don't know what the deal is with this thing. I know when we came there... back in 2005, Les was doing some restoration work. He was doing some painting or whatever it may have been, and there was a radio there sitting on the windowsill. And one of the things she pointed out was that this radio, she's like, the radio would sometimes come on by itself for no reason at all, and that's exactly what we experienced the first like 5 minutes we were in that place, Robbie.
Yeah, and you know what's really funny? I want to add a little bit to this. I wish they would have put this in the film. We tried turning the sucker off, and it would not go off.
Really?
Yes. And we unplugged it, and I remember Michael Esposito saying, look, it's still going. And there was still power coming through it for about, I know when you turn off certain appliances, they run power for a little bit because of the circuit breakers inside them and what have you. Yeah. But this went on longer than normal, and it was phenomenal. Then it finally died. But it was really funny because we couldn't turn it off.
Now, I assume you checked the radio for batteries, right?
We checked it for everything.
I figured you would, but, you know, it has to be asked.
Yeah.
Well, no, we did the same thing. We did everything but take the radio apart, much less, destroying Les's property there. We couldn't explain that. We were upstairs, and we just heard this radio come on, and we're like, you know, what the heck is that all about? And went downstairs, and, yeah, we unplugged it, plugged it in. We tried all kinds of things. It never happened after that, but I just thought that was interesting that the neighbor pointed that out also, that she's heard the radio just come on randomly like that, too.
Yes.
Still remember the song playing.
Sweet Caroline.
Oh, yeah.
Sweet Caroline. Yeah, that was the song we heard playing out there. But, no, it was a really cool project. How long did it take you guys to put that the whole thing together, or how long did you guys film that film or whatever to do that?
We filmed 3 consecutive days and nights, and the logistics of it was we wanted to have longer, but it was pre-set, because in 2006 I was supposed to be out there with Michael filming with Ronald James Television, New Dominion Pictures from Discovery Channel, what have you. And it just didn't go right because I had a vision, and the vision, the lady told me to stay home. The same one, Tony, you seen in the movie where she appeared to him and told him no, that's how it was to me. And I didn't know that Tony had that same type of vision with the woman until I seen the movie. And when I was to go out there in 2006, I had the New Dominion Pictures calling saying, you got to come out here. We got all this money spent. We got everything all set up. Ronald calling me saying, you got to be down here. And it was a week before, and I said, I'm not going because I'm going to tell everybody what is going on. Ron, this is what's going to happen to you from this person. This person's going to do this to this person, and it's going to be a kibosh. Mm-hmm. And what happened was exactly that. I got his recorded message on my answering machine as he's walking through the Kansas airport saying, okay, Mr. Psychic, I guess you were right, and we spent thousands of dollars getting this all done, and everybody's going home in their own way, and yada, 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 yada. It just wasn't right. And this is what is really cool, and you're going to find this really uncanny, but it was a year to the very day. I'm on the porch of the Sally House, and we're starting to shoot.
Mm-hmm.
So that was pretty remarkable. From going from 2006 to 2007 and shooting, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Well, there was a lot of... In the film itself, at least, I hammered through, and there was just a lot of, you know, the story. I mean, it's not like you guys really tried to flesh out what happened there. You know, I heard a lot of things. I mean, and the story that you guys, that was presented here was that this little girl died on the operating table, essentially, with no anesthetic, from what I understand. That's what they showed, was that the doctor actually operated on her with no anesthetic, and I guess that may be from the shock that killed her. Am I correct?
It would be where, yeah, pain and tolerance and what have you, and the menacing ways of Fenny and what he's done.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you see in the end of the movie where mm-hmm. I mentioned, you know, was there a Sally?
Yeah.
Because the fact was, I mentioned 9 names. 2 of them were on film, and the other 7 were off film. There's a review that came out from International Ghost Hunter Society, Dr. Sharon Oyster,
mm-hmm.
and she mentions that as well. And what it was, every name that came through that over the years they've collected
mm-hmm.
that have been on EVP or what has come through in that home were validated. And the closest thing I could come to, and I sent everybody out and I said, you know, we got to get records of anything anywhere near this house. There was somebody named Sally, and we couldn't come up with anything. There is no record of a Sally. There was no record. The closest thing I could come to was a doll. If somebody approached the home who was a child who had a doll named Sally.
Okay. Wow. And it's such a weird, you know, it's such a strange story, I know, and it's numbing still to this day, I know, with the experiences we've had there. And I know what I tried to find myself, you know, watching the film, you know, was trying to find correlations such as the radio and things like that. One thing I found interesting also was the interviews they did with Les, because, you know, Les, you got to meet Les, didn't you?
No, Les was scared of the fact that one time we were down there that things would start to happen. Well, it was happening around us continuously, but we called and kept him informed of what was going on.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, just a little thing like this, the guys were reviewing the videotapes and the 2 cameras, and we would hear the snap shut of the closure of the case of the DVD tapes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we turn around and look at the table, we heard the sliding effect. And we had the tapes at one side, and they were over the other side, so we just looked at each other and said, nah, it couldn't happen. So we turn around, and we're reviewing the tapes again, and looking through the cameras, and all of a sudden you hear snap and slide again. We turn around, and then we noticed they did move. They moved over to the other side. So, you know, things were happening on a regular basis through that house.
As far as this house is concerned, I know one of the things that captured, you know, my interest was when we pulled up to it, I mean, there was nothing that really made this house stand out to any other house on that street. I'm sure you felt, you may have felt the same way, Robbie, when you pulled up there. I mean, it really kind of, you know, all the stories we heard about this place before we went there, I was like, I thought we were going to be pulling up to the, you know, Lucifer was going to be sitting in the front yard smoking a cigarette going, hey, come on inside, guys, you know. But it was a very, very serene, mellow, kind of, you know, nice, peaceful neighborhood. And, you know, just all these experiences that people have had there, it's just such a weird juxtaposition to see, you know, that house still there, right? And it just, again, it just doesn't really stick out that much. And that always kind of captured, that's what's always made things seem so interesting to me. Do you feel the same way, Robbie?
Yeah, you know, that's a good point to make, Scott, because, you know, right across the street, you got gargoyles on the Glick Mansion. You think that would be the place where all the activity was?
Yeah, right across. We were using their showers there actually when we were out there. So yeah, it seems like that would be all where all the activity is at. But this is just this little house across the street. Nothing too out of the ordinary about it. But then it harbors all of these stories and all these experiences people have had. Just a really strange story, but a really cool movie. I really enjoyed the film, and thanks again for sending it out to us.
Absolutely.
Really, really kind of fleshes things out a lot, you know. And maybe there'll be a part 2. Hopefully, you know, you guys might be able to. I don't think any haunting, you know, they're always a work in progress, I guess, if you're going to research these things and go out there and try to learn. So I'm sure there may be more stuff to look into about the Sally House. You agree?
Oh, I do, because you hit it on the head, you know. Collecting data, doing an investigation isn't just done in 3-4 days.
Yeah.
Michael Esposito's been collecting stuff there for almost 5 years. And so, you know, you look at that on a continuous basis of all his records that he has. It's phenomenal, the amount of stuff that he's collected. And, you know, and looking at the history, the one house next door where the lady lived, that was a Finney house as well. And then just down the street, we actually stayed in the very first house that Fenny built.
Mm-hmm.
And my daughter seen the apparition as well as I did of the man standing in the room where the cameras were all set up for the news media to come in the next day,
uh-huh.
and he was clicking the light on and off, and she freaked, and we seen him, and it was amazing that what happened in that house.
Mm-hmm.
And then I brought actor Jamie Rutley, who has been in Blind Eye, the movie with Nick Mancuso, Roddy Piper. He's been in a lot of movies like Study Hell and stuff,
mm-hmm.
and he wanted to, you know, cross the line and go into the paranormal instead of doing the horror and the drama movies.
Mm-hmm.
And so he went upstairs to bed, and the last thing I said to him was, yeah, make sure that Fenny don't get you. And he kind of smirked at me, and you could understand why he wasn't coming down for the interview. And all we heard him mumbling, and so we went up and knocked on his door, and he's mumbling, and finally comes down. He's pale as a ghost. And he says, did you come in my room? He says, you couldn't have because I locked the door. He says, how did you get in my room? And I said, we didn't. He goes, well, I was tucked in right up to my neck like a cocoon. Somebody tucked me in.
Wow.
Yeah. So he got a little taste of the paranormal.
Well, you know, again, it's just these – they're always a work in progress, I guess. Like I said, I mean, and who knows what may, you know, may be uncovered again. And I always find that really cool. I mean, it's something – it's, I guess it's one of my goals working in this field is to, and I've been looking for – you know, I think we're all looking for a place to kind of, I guess, hang our hat, so to say, when it comes to doing research, you know. When you go to a lot of places, and we've said this here before, when you go to a lot of places, you know, we've been all over the, you know, all over the place here, and we've got to see, you know, a certain, like, well, we've been to Moundsville, for example, like, you know, a couple times and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm always trying to, I would like to find a place sometime or someday down the road to kind of hang my hat and do continuous research like this, like Michael Esposito's done, for example, just to stay there and do all the research there, because that's where I think you actually get results. I don't want to say results, because it isn't always about results, but you might actually, probability becomes more favorable to you,
right.
I think, when you're there more. And I think that's something that, you know, I'd like to do, too. So, you know, hats off to Michael Esposito, and maybe we'll see part two of this film come out. That'd be really cool to check out.
Yeah, it would, wouldn't it?
No, definitely.
Yes, absolutely.
Now, Kyle, go ahead.
I want to ask a quick question.
Oh, go.
We have time. Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead. We got time.
Why do you think the Sally House in particular is such an incredible story? Like, why? Because, I mean, there's a very few really big stories that just grip us, you know. And obviously, you know, the big ones, Amityville has had movies made out of it.
Horrible movies.
Some horrible ones, yeah. And there's others, you know. What about the Sally House brings it home? Why does everybody remember it and always talk about it? Because, you know, I mean, we still really don't know, like, you know, what's gone on there. And, you know, even with all the research that Michael's done and that, you know, you guys have put together in this film, it's still, who was Sally, you know, other than a doll? What draws people to this story?
It's the mystique, the unknown, the fact that, you know, the folklore is there. It keeps everybody at bay. So when you put something in the limelight, such as on Unsolved Mysteries and sightings, and, you know, back then people were just dying for something new, and they seen, you know, here's a haunting. And we have, like, Haunting of Emily Rose, and we have all these others, a haunting, and different programs coming out now. It's becoming more vast, widely known, and people are more accepting of it because it goes on. Back then, it was kind of hush-hush because people think you would be a freak, and that was one of the actual lines that I'm coining right now of Deborah Pickman. You know, they want people to think they were freaks. So, you know, you got to look at it that way. When it finally broke, it was a hit. It was news. People wanted that type of environment to listen to and follow.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have that, and you have someone come out now, as we do, and we go in and do proper investigation, professionally done, and trying to seek the truth and bring out top evidence that has been validated on film and EVP.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Scott, you heard them talking right over top of me.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and that was phenomenal. I'm trying to listen to the other side. I'm listening to Michael standing there with his recorder, and I got the producers in the end going, give me more. And I'm thinking, I'm trying hard. And here we go. And then finally they're talking right over top of us. And it was phenomenal. That's what people want. They want the tangible. So when you have an old stigmata such as the Sally House, people want to see what's going on now. They want to see what's going to happen. Is somebody going to get thrown across the room? Somebody going to get scratched? And I'll tell you, when we brought, a lot of people flew in from all over the United States and Canada, came there for the tour stop as we were filming. We brought them through there. And a lot of them did experience quite the force. And, you know, there was pictures taking, there was faces caught in windows. Now, there's one shot that I know you're gonna sit there, how can this be? And I looked at it myself. There's the window by the stairs as you're going down. Do you remember that window? You're up on the top stairs.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way that when you step on the second step, because that window's like on the second or third step, and it's way up there, that anybody, I don't care, you got to be 14 feet to put your face up on the top panes of the windows. And when they snapped the pictures, it was clear as a bell. There was faces. There was four faces right there.
Wow. Doug, did that help
you
out?
Yeah, so it's... Yeah, because that means it's still going on today, and I don't know. I think also it may have to do with the fact that it is a home, an unassuming-looking home on a street lined with other homes.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that really does seem to, like, wow, if it can happen there. You know, because, like, you know, we saw Haunting in Connecticut at the show, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we know, you know, we've talked with Carmen Reed and everything, but they have circumstances that we don't have here at our homes.
Yeah,
it was a former, you know, that was a former funeral home, and there were circumstances, and this though is a home just like any other. Yet it had activity. It had activity on tape, you know, on sightings, and then all of a sudden, boom! You know, the everybody just started talking about it. It's like was a topic, something that everybody picked up. It was like the ghost story in the neighborhood.
Yeah,
and it could have been anybody's neighborhood. And I think that's probably one of the things that people latch onto, and that's why. Why it happened or why it took off, but then it's still, you know, going on. We had the, although I wasn't physically there for it, the radio that was talked about.
Yep.
And Robbie experienced all this stuff, you know, from this movie, you know, this film that, that evidently Scott swung onto. And
shake it.
Quite frankly, I think the fact that I had three very calm, peaceful, excellent nights of sleep next to Scott is
saying.
A paranormal occurrence.
That is pretty paranormal.
Yeah, and that's probably one of our weirdest experiences coming from there. We've talked about that before. But no, it's a really cool film, though, Robbie. Bonnie has it now. I really enjoyed it. Explained a lot of things and showed a lot. You know, the one thing I'm going to admit this too. It was the one big thing I got out of the film, Robbie, is I actually got to see the basement. I never went down to the basement.
Never?
Not one time did I go down to the basement when I was there.
Oh,
I just never got around to it.
Quite a bit of time.
I was busy working upstairs and on the main floor. I never went down to the basement, so it was kind of cool seeing the basement for the first time, Robbie.
Yeah, that was something else. You know, being up in the upper stairs, and I was asked. You know, I was told about the basement. And during the lights were going off and on there was a lot of things that happened, you know, that normal, an active place that happens.
Yeah.
And so I kept hearing the voices, and I said, well, we'll go down there later. And so they said, let's do an up walk through the house and what have you. And you've seen the dog. And that's the very first thing he said to me was at breakfast. We had the producers and Michael and myself. And he said, what can you do that's going to be tangible and that will be totally – different than the obvious, carrying equipment around trying to record. I said, look, I'm looking over your shoulder. I want your Great Dane. I'll turn it into a Chihuahua. I promise. And he goes, what? He said, that won't happen. I said, look, it'll be unrehearsed. It'll be unacted. The dog will act on impulse, and that will have your proof right there. And sure enough, the dog did it.
Yep. And the dog, we saw the dog cruising around there, and there was a lot to the film. I really enjoyed it. We have to go to break, though, unfortunately. When we come back, we got a host of other things to talk about too, don't we, Robbie?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we're going to be doing that here. So, yeah, let's take a quick break here. I am, like, on my last leg. You know, we're in the home stretch here. We got a lot to cover still. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
And I'm Doug.
And I'm Bonnie.
We'll be right back if I turn the volume up on this thing. Here we go.
For more info, visit ghostlytalk.com.
Science has learned that all people possess mental powers which pass the boundaries of the natural.
Ghosts, Bigfoot, extraterrestrials,
Terra Hub Radio,
psychics, parapsychology, Loch Ness Monster,
Terra Hub Radio,
paranormal news, giveaways, open chat,
Terra Hub Radio,
classic rock, and paranormal talk, Thursdays, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, at parahub.org, bounceradio.net, and beastradio.com.
Is the veil between this world and the next getting thinner? I'm Chris Sloan, inviting you to join in and listen to a new podcast that deals with the paranormal, Parapod, with new guests every week, from paranormal investigators to the people they help. Hear actual EVP. The people that capture.
We go into a case to disprove a haunting.
Three flashlights, actually four counting the lantern, were actually honed in on this thing, and it was swallowing the light up.
Parapod. Log on to myspace.com/Chris Sloan Radio. That's myspace.com/CHRISSLONE Radio. The only difference between the believer and the skeptic is time. And your time is now.
Interested in ghosts, UFOs? How about the occult? Are you psychic? Would you like to find out? Well, if you're intrigued by the world's curiosities and all that is paranormal, then Paralore.com is a place for you. Create your own profile, start a photo album, write a blog, or just hang out and watch countless hours worth of paranormal videos while chatting with other Paralore members. Who knows? You could win a prize or two if you're quick and brave enough. It's all here, and it's all free. Visit www.paralore.com and join today. Again, membership is free, and we know you won't be disappointed.
Paralore.com. Unlock your mind.
I just probably fried everybody's ears. But I felt it coming, guys. I felt the rock.
Wow.
I had to rock.
Wow. Thank you so much. It's not as funny as the song you sang a couple
I actually, I don't know if it was my perception or whatever, but I actually think I saw the screen flutter a little bit when I did that. Sorry, everybody out there. I didn't mean to fry everybody's eardrums. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
And I'm Doc.
And I hurt. That was just wrong, but I loved it.
We're talking to Robbie Thomas here. We're having a good time. We talked about the Sally House movie that he was a part of the last half hour. Now I want to talk about Paracon. This is coming up here pretty quick. Robbie, this is coming right around the corner. It's going to be August 6th and August 7th of this year. And there's some additions from what I understand. You care to tell us about? There's some new stuff going on as far as I can understand. You want to tell us about this?
Yeah, absolutely. We've added a VIP night, which is a very important party night.
Mm-hmm.
The 5th of August, which is going to be on a Wednesday. And we're doing a lot there. We're going to be auctioning off Saw 5, Saw 3, and Saw 2 movie props.
Ooh.
That are all proceeds are going to go to breast cancer and juvenile diabetes research. So it's for a great cause, you know. Come on out. And I'm auctioning. You know what? I was looking in the archive of Robbie Thomas's junk here in my office, and there's only a couple of these left, and I got two of them. It's an all-cast signed Dead Whisper, and there's not any of them out there. So I'm putting that together with a poster, an authentic poster that's autographed by 14-time award-winning film producer Ronald James and myself and Michael Esposito, and we're going to auction that off as well as one part of a different block for breast cancer and juvenile diabetes.
Can we auction off Scott?
We can auction off Scott, yes, indeed.
That isn't going to help anybody at all, guarantee you that. I got a bid for $5. $5.
Amberwood did on you.
Yeah, that's it. That's all. Okay, sorry. Yeah.
She'll get somebody in the back going, can you take food stamps?
I'm glad you guys are all enjoying yourselves so much here at my
house. Oh, yeah.
You just sit over there at your cozy little house, okay, Doug?
I'm
sure is the ashtray sitting next to you and the Diet Pepsi bottle. Yeah, I know.
It's Diet Pepsi, yes, but no, I'm not doing the smoking thing while on the air. I've been trained.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
So yeah, you guys have added a VIP night though, and you guys are working on these giveaways and things like that. You're giving away Saw stuff now.
Yeah, definitely. Tim Yancey's got the authentic licensing from Twisted Pictures, and so we are getting all that stuff out. So far, there's about 5 or 6 items that he has, and this is going to be fantastic. Look forward to all that. Also, we're going to get some things, other things put together, which is going to be fantastic as well. We're giving away 50 tickets to Reaper's Realm, which is a haunted playground type thing just outside of Sarnia.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been to it. I mean, you want Texas Chainsaw Massacre and you want all this type of stuff, and it's an hour and a half an amusement ride.
Uh-huh.
It's unbelievable. So we're one of the sponsors. We've got 50 tickets we're giving away.
You said it's a haunted amusement park?
Type thing. Yes, it is. And it's amazing. It's phenomenal. I've been to it, and I tell you, when I get scared, well, you know, it's pretty cool. So it was pretty darn cool.
Well,
and there's a lot of things. We've also added the Lawrence House. Now, I just did a news feed with CTV National News in Canada,
mm-hmm.
which is straight across. They came out. They brought their cameras. They had the skeptic guy there, the camera crew, and what have you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then the cameras start acting up and flickering, and then the hall light just went right off. And so, you know, that, and then he turns to me and goes, does it feel like when you got hands on you, like, is it cold? And I said, yeah. He goes, well, I think somebody's touching me. So he went from skeptic to being realist, you know. It was really funny, you know, the normalcy of paranormal. So,
yeah.
And so we're going to take 30 lucky people who get your Paracon tickets. They're going quick. So if you get your Paracon ticket, then you get the chance to get these other tickets. And the investigation ticket is $25, which is not bad.
Mm-hmm.
And all the proceeds of that go right to the Lawrence House to keep it preserved. So we're doing good for everything in the community and what have you.
Yeah, and you can actually they can call directly to your office to order tickets. Am I correct?
Yeah, that's right. You can give me a call at 519-337-8333.
Very cool. Yeah, we're looking forward to going out there with you guys, and what I've found, you know, I mentioned this before, is that this conference, it's early, you know, it's, well, you added the Wednesday night thing, but it's Thursday and Friday. Normally, we take our weekends off for these things, and this is a Thursday-Friday event.
I'm still taking the weekend off for that.
Oh, are you? But it's kind of a different, you know, it's not a curiosity, you know, I'm just, you know, how these things are set up. What made you want to do it on Thursday and Friday like that? Why did you want to do it on Thursday and Friday? Just not, you know, it's,
well,
one of those things, you know.
Yeah, because then it gives the individuals who are coming into town, we have the Bay Fest and the Rib Fest, and we have big bands that come here, like Kiss is coming, and
we
can do that. People want to stay around a little longer, then they can hit the bands.
Oh, there you go. That's cool, then. Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
That's going to be, yeah, you can make it even longer weekend if you want. See.
Absolutely.
You said Kiss is playing that weekend?
Yes, they're playing in July, and then there's the Rib Fest, and then there's the River Fest. There's a lot of festivals in that time frame.
Oh, okay, all right.
Weekend before, weekend after.
Very cool, yeah. So we're looking forward to that, and you're going to probably drop on a couple more times, and I'm sure there's going to be some other stuff popping up with Paracom. And again, my brain is not working again tonight. August 6th and August 7th of 2009, and there's also the VIP party, which is August 5th of 2009, if you want to do that. Again, you can call in 519-337-8333 to order tickets for that. A couple other things you got going on. Robbie, you're always no short of working on something, and... Well, the new book, I think we may have talked about this before, but maybe there's some developments. Paranormal Encounters. This is the new book. What's the story on this now?
No, it's going to be coming out here very shortly.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited about it. It's been a long time in the making as well. It's behind the scenes of Dead Whisper, what really took place, you know, the emotional factor of all the cast and crew, post-stuff that happened that followed them home. And there's a lot of intrigue there. And then there's also the Sally House movies there. And we went through, like, what we explained tonight, but more in depth. There's a lot more there. And then there's about 12 other great investigations in North America. Just not America or Canada. It's North America.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like Perryville Battlefield there, there's a lot of stuff. Stuff that would just freak people out, because I remember being in one home, and the lady, she nearly threw me out of her house. I was saying, you know what, your mother-in-law is here, and she's telling me that you're doing a pregnancy test. And then she looked at me, she goes, what? And her husband's sitting there, and he goes, did you tell him? And she goes, no, I didn't. So it was something else that she wanted to do a DNA test, not a pregnancy test. It was a DNA test,
mm-hmm.
of her husband's child, because she married him. It was a second marriage, and she had doubts with the other woman being his, you know, that being his child. So, yeah, I floored him. It was amazing.
Ooh.
And yeah.
So this is all the behind the scenes stuff that's going to be in Paranormal Encounters. And when's it? It's coming out pretty soon. You said.
Yes, it should be about 4, maybe 6 weeks from now, and it'll be out. And I'm going to have it right for the Paracon.
Oh, very cool. So you're going to be able to get it there if you go to Paracon. Other things, Rolling Hills, something I want to mention, too. Now, I've heard a couple things. Is Rolling, you know, I don't know if we've mentioned it here on the show or not. I heard a rumor, and you know how rumors are nowadays, that Rolling Hills is actually closing. Am I correct on this, Robbie, or are they is there a threat to close? I mean, I don't know what's going on with that. Do you have any information on that?
Yeah, they are closing, and this will be one of the last times to get in there before they close their doors. It's a shame, you know, like anything in a recession, and people can't keep up the bills and what have you. You work in a negative aspect of keeping a property going. It's hard. So we're taking 40 lucky people. I think in the last count there was 2 tickets that were left, and that was last week. So if anybody gets the opportunity, you know, get a hold of me, and maybe I can get a hold of Gary, the organizer who organized all this in Toronto.
Uh-huh.
And maybe we can squeeze a few extra people in, you know, why not, right?
Yeah, no, completely. We were at Rolling Hills. Were you there, Bonnie?
No.
You didn't make it to that thing. Doug was there, and I was there, and Bonnie was there. I think Tom was there, too.
Stop saying I was there. I wasn't. Amber was there.
Did I just say
Stop confusing me and Amber.
Jesus Christ. All right. I'm getting
it's
to end.
Offensive
I'm getting
to me.
All right. Okay. I'm sorry. No, we got to spend some time there. What was it, last March, Doug? Am I correct?
Oh, I believe so. And it was really interesting.
Yeah, we spent. Go ahead, Doug. I'm sorry.
Fantastic place. Wow.
We spent a lot. We got to spend a lot of time with the, you know, the ladies there and everything like that, and it was just a lot of fun. And like I said, I heard that it was going to be closing. So yeah, that is a definite shame. And it seems like a few of these places nowadays. There's a few places that are, you know, either in this shape right now with the recession, like you said, Robbie, where, you know, unfortunately, you know, for a lot of us, this is a hobby, and you know, when times are tough, yeah, you got to pull back on your hobby. So unfortunately, I think that the Rolling Hills people are feeling that, and that really does suck. I agree, Robbie.
Yeah, it does, you know, because we're here for the common good, and the common goal is to find the truth and seek out what's different and indifferent. So, you know, it's hard when you see an icon like that go.
Yeah.
And if I had it my way, if I had more time, I would have organized something that we could pull everybody in the paranormal together and make, you know, some type of donation or some type of something and save the place.
Yeah, it's a real bummer to see that, and there are a few other places. I know Fort Mifflin, they've been having issues over there with Fort Mifflin, and there's a campaign to save Fort Mifflin right now, too, which we support wholeheartedly. We've actually talked to people about that in the show here, and that's a hugely historic place,
yeah.
Too. That's just scary.
Absolutely.
To see a place like that that could be closed. It's like, are you nuts? No, we can't
yeah,
do that.
Yeah, no.
Hopefully things will get better before they get worse with that thing. You're also featured at the Bayshore, but what is this? Trilogy Institute and Ginger Press. This is you're doing live cold case on someone who was murdered that was never done before. Okay, this is an event
right.
That you're working on. What's going on with this? Let's hear about this.
Yeah, it's first time ever. Like, you know, I've always been approached in places that we do conventions, and I just remember I'm reflecting back to like the Mid South we were all at.
Mm-hmm.
And there was police officers came there, and there was a lady whose brother was murdered, and you know, I'm giving them information right there, and they're going, oh my gosh, yeah, and you know, that's how it works, right? It just happens. And so I was approached, and I said, you know, they asked me, could you do it live? And I said, absolutely, we'll do one live.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's never been done before, and you know, I'm going to sit there with police, and you know, if it takes an hour, it takes an hour. If it takes 2 hours, at least we're going to give new evidence and new forthcoming information, and hopefully we can solve it, you know, get it done.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we're going to do. Also, we're going to Billy Bishop's, Canada's war ace, his mm-hmm. His place to do an investigation.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be showing both movies, Dead Whisper and the Sally House movie. I'll be taking questions and answers and showing real-time communication, the
mm-hmm.
real direct correlation of, you know, hey, Mom, can you hear me? Absolutely, she can.
How the heck are you going to do that, Robbie?
Well, we're going to show that through what's been captured on film now, like in Dead
okay.
Whisper, where I'm holding Lady's hand, and I go, her name is, and before I say her name, she says her name's Lydia Morris, and I say
okay.
her name's Linda Morris. But I was off by a bit, but I mean, I caught it, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the validation.
Oh, wow. So, and that's, again, that's going to be it's a live cold case reading you're going to be doing. And this is the first time I've ever heard someone do that. I mean, this is an actual case. Obviously, this is a case that's being worked on right now. Am I
correct? This is a case that's unannounced.
It's a cold case. So it's a case that was worked on and it went cold, correct? God.
Well, there's a stipulation now. A cold case can be like 20 years or more, and then there's a cold case where it's just they come to an end, and it's an interim cold case, meaning it's still active, but you know they're not doing anything with it. So that, I think, what we're hitting on right there.
Fantastic. And again, you're not no shortage.
Is there anything you don't have going on right now, really?
I'm actually going to be in your backyard filming a new movie with Chuck Wagner. It's called Bluegrass Run. It starts in August as well. It's a romantic comedy. Now, I've crossed over the lines, and they offered me this role. I get to play myself.
Ooh,
and
that's going to be hard.
I know. I know, and I'm thinking, my lines. but, yeah, they said that they followed me because they're from Louisville, and they followed me on that one case of Caesar Cano, the gentleman I put on death row. Helped put on death row with the police there, and he murdered that four-year-old little boy, Caesar Cano. So they followed that case, and they watched closely. And I get the phone call one day, and he says, we want to give back. We want to give you an opportunity to be in this major budget movie. And by no slouch is it a short stick movie of, you know, anything. It's like between $7 and $10 million, so it's a major motion picture.
Oh, that's very cool.
Yeah.
You kind of freaked me out, though, when you said you were going to be in my backyard. I thought you literally meant you were going to be in my backyard.
Come on, like, you don't know what I'm going to be.
Why are you going to be in my backyard, and how do you know where I live?
Well, I will follow all the people that are moaning from all those massages.
I'm so glad you said massages. Woo!
Doug, I heard you chime up. Did you say
something? Oh, I was saying, well, he's psychic. He's just, oh, well, I'm feeling Bonnie's vibration.
Yes, because I have very high vibrations.
Vibrations, not vibrator, vibration.
Right. Oh. She's got the car battery out.
Oh.
Doug!
What?
There.
Oh, did I? Oh, I wasn't.
Try the boat battery.
No. Wow. Well, the only thing I have to say to that is if men were just a little bit more crazy.
Oh,
anyway.
These are all life's mysteries.
I like you better when you talk about hockey.
Okay. Let's talk about hockey. I could talk about hockey for, well, forever.
Robbie.
Well, let's go.
Hey.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Go
the floor
Rams,
is your guys. Don't
because,
go to this.
They're nowhere near the playoffs.
They never will be.
Very sad. Actually, there are no Canadian teams left in the playoffs.
Jeez, oh, Pete, Bonnie, are you trying to get us all in trouble?
Hey, I'm just saying. Everyone wants to go, oh, hockey is Canada. There are no Canadian teams left in the playoffs. That's all I'm saying.
Listen, chick, I you got to come over the border, remember?
Yeah.
And I'll take on every last one of them.
Oh, Christ, here we go. Well, we were going to come over the border now.
Yeah, no.
We're going to have a picture of Bonnie up there. Do not let this lady in.
I will come over the border in
she
my
she does
jersey.
Not like Canadian hockey. Oh, my God.
I like all hockey. For the record, I have watched every single solitary game of the playoffs,
mm-hmm.
and that's a lot of hockey,
mm-hmm.
by the way.
Mm-hmm.
It's like two games a night in the beginning,
ooh.
Every night. It's a whole lot of hockey. So I love all hockey. I just wanted to bring up, he's the one that started it with the Go Leafs. I just wanted to bring up that there are no Canadian teams.
Okay.
No, none. Zero Canadian teams left in the playoffs.
God. Robbie, anything else happening in the future?
I think I'm going to invest in Prozac.
For me?
I'm going to ship Bonnie a bottle.
I won't take it.
Yeah, thank you. We've been trying to get it here. Maybe the Canadian health system can help us out.
Yeah, there you go.
I don't need Prozac. I'm perfectly fine.
Okay, cool. You all right,
hey,
Bonnie?
Hey, listen, I'm not liking your sass tonight either.
Well, it's just the two of us in the studio because somebody couldn't make it.
I know. Oh,
I'm in triumph dead for that.
I can't really say anything, though, because I skipped last week because of a hockey game. So.
Speaking of which, Robbie, yeah, thank you. I got to say thank you, Robbie, for joining us. It's always fun having you on the show. And we're looking forward to Paracon coming up in August. Again, that's going to be coming up, you know what, August 6th and August 7th of 2009. And, Robbie, you always got something going on, so we always wish you the best of luck in all your endeavors. And I'm sure we'll be talking to you again very soon here about another project, you know, something else or developments or whatever it may be. But it's always cool to have you on the show, Robbie.
Well, thank you, guys. It was a pleasure for being here, and thank you so much.
Yeah, hang on the line. Don't leave us just yet. We're just going to close this show out, I think.
I'm pretty sure he'll be writing my memoirs.
Got to thank Robbie Thomas, of course, who's on the line still. We got to thank John King for talking about Princess Diana. Man, that was just insane.
That was a killer
hour. Into that. Jackie Carpenter for coming us and warming us up for the WISP Paranormal Conference. And all the fun stuff we got to talk about tonight about crazy hillbilly weddings. And I just, you know, just another day in the office here, I guess.
Now that I have completely offended that half of my family, my work here is done.
What are you going to do? What are you going to do? So basically, I think we're going to call it a day here. I think we've got a lot done.
Yeah,
I'm fried. I'm cooked. I finished my same cup of tea and about a gallon of water to get
through
here.
I think I need to smoke because apparently with Doug here, I don't go outside to smoke.
Yeah, you stay here like a good little boy. Good little boy.
Apparently, I had a sex change before I came back to the show.
Yeah.
Apparently, that's why I'm acting girly now.
I am done with this. You guys are killing me tonight.
Well, I want to say, I also want to say congratulations to,
who are they?
Those people. Wait a minute.
Those people.
Oh, yes. Sean Cowan and Nathan on the upcoming A&E show, Extreme Paranormal. And I have to say thank you for putting up with me, you know, missing.
Nah, we're just breaking your chops.
I can say
this publicly. It was a work thing you had to do.
Yes,
and work things always come first here. That's the way it works. And you guys have seen that in the past here. When we have work stuff going on, we kind of.
And so does hockey.
Yeah, and hockey. That's the other one too.
Work
so
and hockey.
On that
the meaning of life.
We're going to call it a night here. This has been Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
And I'm Doug.
And I'm Bonnie.
We'll see you guys next week here. We'll be hopefully all in the studio.
I'll be here.
I think we'll
be here. There will be a game next Sunday, but I'll be here.
All right. We're out of here, guys. Have a good week.